And it's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Along with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard, I'm Phil Henry. We had a bit of a contretemps off the air between last night's show and this evening's show, and it involves the story we did last night, a month late, the 30th anniversary of this near-nuclear war between the United States and Russia.
Well, the Soviet Union, Phil, you kept calling it Russia.
Yeah.
All right, okay, I mean, I'm sorry, the Soviet Union, and the contretemps was that my information allegedly...
No, not allegedly. You carved it, and a man, Dean Wheeler, heard it.
Well, that's nice, Bud. I'm glad that Dean Wheeler heard it, but what we do on our show is listen to all of the facts.
Well, we've heard your side, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Phil. Go ahead.
Gee, thank you very much. Anyway...
What else you got to say, though?
What else do I have to say? How about if I let the audience know what the hell I'm talking about? Why don't we just start there?
Robert, hold on. We'll take our shots, but let him hang himself. I didn't mean hang himself.
What is this, anyway?
Well, the guy that called up...
Hold on for a minute. What is this, let him hang himself?
No. I'm just saying to Robert, let you have your say, because there'll be plenty of meat left for the rest of us.
What is that supposed to mean?
Means that you're hung out to dry on this one, and everybody knows it.
Then I won't even explain. We'll just bring the guest on.
No, Phil, don't be a child. Explain.
Don't be a child. But I'm listening to you guys talking about how, Robert, hey, you know, don't worry. There'll be plenty of meat left over.
All it is, that's a hunting term, Mr. Henry. It doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it's an old hunting term. You know, there's plenty of meat left. After we take our part of the kill, we'll send the rest into the village.
And what has that got to do with me? Am I the kill?
Well, I don't want to go that far, but an account of the dumb stuff you said.
Yes, you said some dumb stuff.
I said some... What? Okay.
Well, you want me to repeat it?
No, what I'd like to do is explain to the audience, then we'll bring Mr. Wheeler on. Was he the guy that gave you the call?
Was he the guy that gave me the call? He was one of many that emailed...
Okay, was email.
Yes.
All right. By the way, we have a... What's this secret word contest, Bud?
Yeah, if you hear the secret word on a show, be the first person to comment on a Facebook fan page.
Well, that was fantastic, man. That was very clear. The secret word.
Are you idiots... Excuse me for saying that, but are you two idiots going to talk about that? Or are we going to get to the first... You can do your secret word whenever.
Okay, but I just want people to know that it's penis.
You really...
Man, are you stupid or something? Man, you don't tell them what the secret word is now.
Well, you gotta let them know.
Not right now, man. I wasn't gonna... And what do you mean, penis? When did we agree on that?
Oh, look at him laugh like a child. Phil, you happen to be in our crosshairs, all right? You're walking into the net, and we're about to have two guys... Never mind.
You're about to have two guys what?
Take the boxes off of the tops of their heads, cut the rope...
And there you go, man, right up there, up in the net.
All right, I tell you what we'll do. Since I haven't been given the opportunity to say anything, we'll get Mr. Wheeler on the line, and we'll find out how I carved up this interview yesterday with... Well, it wasn't the interview with Larry Grover so much, it was just my statement of facts on the incident involving Colonel Petrov, who saved the world from nuclear war, and it was in 1983, and I think I got that right, didn't I?
Yes, you got it right, but the tenor, the color, the actual feel, the atmospheric or the ambiance, you know what I mean by that, Phil, the ambiance?
Are you trying to say ambiance?
No, I'm not trying to say ambiance, I'm saying ambiance. It's French.
Yeah, you know about the French.
Oh, yeah, I know about the French. Dean Wheeler is on the line with us from Northern California, Novato, California, the Northern California Holistic Center. Dean, how are you?
Very good, Phil.
All right, what happened? What did I do?
Well, I mean, we've already discussed this.
I know, but for the purposes of my audience.
Well, for the purposes of your audience's information, you were stating facts that were wildly exaggerated. First of all, the missile launch that was detected by Colonel Petrov was not hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It was only five, and that was the key to Colonel Petrov's brilliant thinking. Now, you did point that out, but you didn't point it out until later, after you'd made the statement that there'd been a launch detected of hundreds. That being said, you also said that he had to... first you said he had to get clearance from above, and then you said he had the green light. No. He didn't have the green light.
Where'd he get a green light at?
Would you... I'd like to... I understand your question, Mr. Dickman. Are you asking me where did he get the green light?
Uh-huh.
He got the green light from his superiors, but let me finish what I want to say. No individual officer working one of these command centers has the green light to authorize the launching of a nuclear weapon. And for you to intimate that, I think, sends the very worst possible message at a time when we are still, as you mentioned, Phil, worried about nuclear warhead.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with us. I apologize to my listeners. You're right. There was not a detection of thousands. There was...
Well, I'll do it, because you've already had your shot.
See, this is what I mean about Phil. You had your chance. Now we all get to do it.
Yeah, but I get to go first because I have a... My wife is performing tonight.
Go ahead, Dean.
Thank you.
Well, wait just a second here. Would you mind if I make the decisions on who goes when and what? And what is this horse dung about you had your shot?
You already had your shot last night.
Yeah, Mr. Emmett, you had your shot, and all you did was take it and wipe with it. And I you know I won't put it that strong, because you know I love you and I support you, Mr. Emmett. But you took your chance last night, almost as if you had an itch, and run your butt on you were running your butt on the floor like a dog. You ever seen a dog do that?
Have I ever seen a dog rub his ass on the floor?
Yeah.
You mean scoot along the floor?
Yeah, that's what you did with the facts.
That's essentially what you did with the facts of this story, Phil. You scooted along the floor... I don't know.
Boy, you guys have got a way of putting things.
Well, you only have yourself a blame on it, you know.
Anyway, can I get to what I want to say?
Yeah, go ahead. I only have my else. Go ahead.
Are you talking to him, or you...
Go ahead. It doesn't matter whether I'm listening.
Well, that is true. So, what happened... Well, I forget now. I had the...
Let me do it, Dean, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. I got to get going anyway.
All right. First of all, Phil, thank you, Dean Wheeler.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute.
Phil, we've got the break.
Yeah, I know we have the break. Dean was going to do it. Then he decided he didn't want to do it because he doesn't remember anyway, and he's got to go because his wife's singing. And now you're going to do it, and I don't get to talk? Is that it?
Well, like we said last night, you had your chance.
You had your chance last night, Phil, and you made crap out of it.
Yeah, you just basically, like I said, you scooted along the floor, rubbing your butt.
You knock it off with the scooting along the floor. What kind of an image is that? I'll tell you what I did wrong. Last night I said there was a detected launch of thousands of missiles.
So you're going to do it.
Go ahead.
There was a detected launch, said Phil, of thousands of missiles. That was not the case. There was only a detected launch of five, and that's why Colonel Petrov is considered to be particularly brilliant, because he made the decision, and rightfully so, that no country... especially the United States versus the Soviet Union, would launch only five missiles in a preemptive strike.
And so therefore he...
So therefore he said he wasn't going to do it, and it ends at that. Now it's my turn.
Now it's Bud's turn.
Last night, Mr. Henry...
Wait. Are you going to repeat?
Hold on. Last night you said there was a detected launch of 1,000 missiles, and there's only five. Okay, now your turn.
Yeah, last night, Mr. Henry,
is this...
Would you, Phil, just put a rag in it for 5 seconds? God!
Yeah, no kidding.
Blip, 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 blip.
Fine, go ahead.
Yeah, last night you said 1,000 missiles. There's only five.
There, you happy? We cut it way back. Everybody was allotted 5 minutes.
You know, the next time you guys have meetings, production meetings on who gets what, you mind if I get my say?
Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. Okay, there you go, folks. That's it. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, you know who, and... We'll be right back, you know, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. Lots of stuff that's been going on. Bank of America has been held liable in the countrywide mortgage fraud. Do you love that? Bank of America is now liable in the countrywide mortgage fraud. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Thanks, Matt. You're a good man. Matt was on top of it. He's talking to me. I distracted him, but he's there. You know what I'm saying?
You know, he's a very, very fine young man, and you keep running your mouth. Blah, 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 blah. This is what we're talking about, Phil.
Yeah, we're doing just you're running it.
Let me tell you something about running your mouth, okay? That's what I do for a living.
Well, that's a good point.
That's what I do. Thank you, Robert. That's what I do.
Yes, but during the break, Matt's trying to concentrate, and you go, oh, and another thing, and, oh, and I bought some shoes.
What do you mean, I bought some shoes?
You were talking about all the underwear you bought and everything.
Get out of there, lying. No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
No, I was not. I said to him, in fact, if you want the truth, I was saying that I did this experiment.
You put on ladies' underwear?
You want to get belted, or do you want to wait till after the show? I can do it now, or we can put it off, and you can get ready for it.
I'm just kidding around.
Save the jokes for me. So,
Phil, all we're saying... Well, all right, never mind.
Yeah, I got it, Margaret. You know, I screwed up, and you got your little digs in, and take it easy, Robert, because there'll be plenty of meat left for us.
That's what she said.
What did I tell you?
Hey, watch it. What did she tell you?
That's what she said. She said not to say that's what she said.
We got that joke yesterday. Are we going to hear that recycled again today? Is that what I'm in for, Phil? Because I didn't have to get out of bed. I had a migraine headache, and I've got a very heavy flow.
Do you got to let everybody know it's your period?
Well, if I didn't, you just did.
Well, you just said I got a very heavy...
Yeah, I heard that, Margaret.
Well, don't say it again. I'm having...
Oh, my God.
Are there tampons?
Yeah, they're in there. We got another box, extra large, right?
You dirty little...
Hey!
Oh, you think that's funny?
Yes, I do.
Both of you, I hope, go to hell, and I hope you are the devil's own private boudoir bitch.
There she goes.
Hey, Margaret, the tampons are upper left hand.
Shut your hole. You tell him to shut the sewer.
Shut the sewer under your nose, bud. All right, so enough of this screwing around, okay?
Don't get pissed.
I am pissed. Trying to get this show together, and I got you guys flipping me out with all of your jackass problems. I'm having a heavy flow. Don't mention that I'm on my period, but I just did. And where are the tampons? And that's what she said. Good Lord. And then the whole thing about yesterday, I'm sorry I misinformed the audience. And you know what? I'm glad that we let the audience know the right stuff, but we didn't have to go into a big 15-minute song and a dance about who gets what time, and there'll be plenty of meat for the rest of us. Don't worry, Robert. Don't say it. All right. Now, what the hell was I going to talk about, man? I had this whole thing.
I thought you were going to talk about B of A.
No, there was another thing I was going to talk about. God, I hate you guys. Oh, I know. I did this experiment with some pictures over on Facebook, and what I did was essentially the following thing. I took a picture of famous rock stars of the 70s, because there had to be a lot of time that elapsed, and I did this because I was looking at my own ugly mug one day, and I saw a picture of myself as a younger man, and I realized, good Lord, you know, the passage of time really does... Yes, you're older, but it does something else. It does something else. It sort of homogenizes the look. There's no way that you can affect the look you affected as a young person. You can't affect that look as an older person without looking kind of weird. You know, I mean, you have to sort of, you got to find the common denominator in the way you dress and in the way you appear. And what I was saying was, I got the pictures, for instance, I got three pictures, I think. One of them was of Brian Eno from the group Roxy Music. Now, Brian Eno, when he was in Roxy Music, looked like a big, skinny rat. I'm telling you, he had this big nose and this skinny body, and he wore the weirdest-ass clothes you ever saw, and his hair was this long, stringy-ass hair, and he had a beret, and the guy looked like he was just, you know, no way was this guy First of all, no way was this guy going to survive, you know, 35. And then secondly, no way was this cat ever going to get older and better looking. I mean, most guys get older and not that, you know, we don't get the benefit of the doubt as men. We don't have to put on the makeup like women do. And, you know, we get older and get more character, all that bullcrap, right? But the fact is, if you want to know what happens to a guy, you know, what happens to a good-looking guy as he gets older, take a look at Joe Namath.
Wow. Yeah, that, Joe Namath has got a big honking nose and a big honking ear, too.
What do you mean, a big honking ear?
Yeah, one of his ears.
What do you mean, one of his ears?
Well, I didn't see the other side, because when I saw the show, it was just the one side.
Well, I can probably assure you, bud, that the other ear is just as big. I didn't see the other side.
Man, you know the other ear is.
I don't know, but he had a big honking ear and a big honking nose.
Excuse me, I'm back. Did I just hear what he said?
What did you hear?
Big honking ear.
Yeah, that's what that was it.
The question is, does a man's, shall we say, vital part, does that get bigger the older you get? And the answer, well, let me put it this way. It's a very disappointing answer for the ladies.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Mario. You going back to the bathroom?
Yes, I am. Where you got, did you get extra large?
Forget about the size of the tampons, if you don't mind. So anyway, I decided to take a look at these guys as present day, you know, take a look at their pictures. And I got a picture of Brian Eno. The guy's a handsome guy. The guy is, and he's a very handsome, distinguished-looking guy. His hair has been cut. He looks like the CEO of some Swiss bank. He's wearing like a, but I mean, he's a handsome cat. He looks like he could be in GQ. He almost looks, if you look at the shot that I saw, and I'm sure the lighting was done by the photographer, but he almost looks like he could have been a male model. I'm not kidding. It was amazing, because like I said, you look at Eno, and man, that guy is anything but good looking when he was younger. The other picture I got a hold of was of Nick Mason. Now, Nick Mason was the and is the drummer for Pink Floyd. And was, I would say Nick Mason was a generic-looking hippie in the 70s. He had long hair, he had a beard, he had a mustache, and he wore T-shirts, and he had the drumsticks, and there he was, the drummer for the band. And he looked much like a lot of other drummers. But he had the, you know, he had the requisite cool look. Today, if you see a picture of Nick Mason with the beard shaved off and the mustache and everything, he looks like a granddad for sure, but he looks like some guy that owns a pub, and like the guy that would come out of the back and say, "Right, what are you all on? Right, it's good. It's nice." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he looks like a guy that he looks like the guy that delivers bottled water.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, a guy that delivers bottled water.
Yeah, I'm like an older guy.
Maybe the guy that owns the company.
Yeah, he looks like the guy that owns the propane tank, the place where I go to fill it up for my mom.
Okay. And that's Nick Mason. Who else?
What about you?
Me? I don't know. It ain't good. I was hard for me. I went from looking like a young, sort of handsome guy to this older, crazed. I look like I went into a nut house. That's what I'd look like. I went from being, you know, a young guy who's just holding it together and, you know, pretty good looking, if I do say so, to this dude who's ready to just be put into a padded cell. That's what I thought I looked like. I thought we did one other. But the moral of the story is,
yes, what is the point of this, Phil? Because we all know what happens when we get older.
The moral of the story is that age, more than anything else, doesn't necessarily make you look worse. It doesn't make you look better. What it does is it makes you look just like an old guy. There's no way you can like if Brian Eno was dressed today the way he dressed back then, what do you think he'd look like?
I think it would be fashionable.
No, are you nuts or something? The guy had hair, stringy hair with a beret and a, no.
Well, I think it would make a bohemian statement for his age.
And the bohemian statement for his age would be what? We need to put him in a room. We need to put him in a room and sit him near the window and let him get some sunlight. That's what it would say. So
in other words, he'd look like a freak on wheels.
He'd look like an absolute freak on wheels. Thank you very much. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Margaret. Because anyway, that's the way I read it. All right, so we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we were talking about even bands from the 90s Matt was talking about Rancid. All those guys have mortgages now. They have kids. They're putting an extension on the house. You know, they're pricing pools. You know, it just... And one of the things that happens to a man, and it's a good thing, but this is one of the things that really civilizes a guy and sort of homogenizes him a bit, is the... Well, it's the love of a woman, you know.
Yeah. What's wrong with that, Phil?
Nothing wrong with that. Women are nesters. Women want you to build the nest. They want you to settle down and bring home the money and the kill so that you guys can, so that they can feather the nest, man. And in order for you to go out and get the kill and get the meat, and well, here we go. Here we go again with meat.
That's what she... Well, I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
God. Take it easy. You know, you got to go out and do that, and you got to look like a normal guy to do it. All right, we'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Vatican suspends a bishop for spending too much money on himself. Can you imagine that? We'll be right back. Yeah, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. Listen, if you visit our website, I just wanted to give you a tiny, itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny heads-up here. You know, there's all kinds of fun things in our online store. You can get the Phil Henry Show coffee mug if you're watching Phil TV.
Talk much, Porky?
That's very funny. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, there's the Phil mug. You can get that. You can get the Bobby Dooley keychain. We have the Best of Phil Henry hard copy CDs with all of the original art. I'm holding up one that is actually from Miami days. You can't get this one, but you can get the download. So the hard copy CDs, that is the CDs with disc and artwork and everything. If we don't have them available, we have downloads of them. We have a download of a Best of Bobby Dooley, a download of Best of Ted Bell, and so many other things, including two Teds of Beverly Hills items, one being the hoodie and the other being the Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt. We have the Phil Henry Show ball cap that I'm wearing on screen right now. We have the Phil Henry Show t-shirt. There's stuff that you can purchase that you can wear, and people will say, who? And you'll say, Phil Henry, and they'll say, never heard of him. And you can say, well, you know what? That's better for us, because I know where the gold is that he buried, and he has told all of us, and before he dies, he's going to give us the exact coordinates, and it'll be just like it in that movie, and you won't have anything. You will go to your death poor, and I will be enriched. And they'll look at you, and they'll walk away and say, wow, love being down here on the boardwalk. Anyway,
what in the hell?
Take it easy. So visit us online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Now, Bob Green will be joining us in a moment to get to the bottom of the latest news, and at least this is a good piece of news. And I say this is a good piece of news, even though, ladies and gentlemen, I do my banking at Bank of America. Even though that's where I do my banking. B of A has been held liable for Countrywide's mortgage fraud. Countrywide, you may or may not know, if you bought a home in the early part of this century or in the 90s, Countrywide was handing out mortgages like it was Independence Day, baby, like it was Christmas time. Countrywide was the go-to guy, man, the go-to people when it came to getting a home loan. If it wasn't a first, it was a second. If it wasn't a second, it was a third. If it wasn't a third...
Well, I'd love to meet the guy that had a fourth.
A fourth what?
Hey.
Thank you. Anyway,
that reminds me of that joke about wherever you find four Catholics, you find a fifth.
Yeah.
It ain't that funny.
No, it hasn't been funny for a long... What's the point?
Would you let me read this, please? So anyway, the civil verdict by a Manhattan federal court jury similarly found the bank's Countrywide financial unit found liable and also determined that former Countrywide executive Rebecca Marrone committed fraud while overseeing the loan origination program. Now, Bank of America was found liable, but I don't think they owned Countrywide at the time that this stuff was happening. I think Bank of America acquired Countrywide later on. I could be wrong. I don't remember, but I don't think they did. I think Countrywide was a little independent company, and I used to see them off the freeway. They're right down Agoura Canyon Drive, you know.
That's nice.
Well, what's the... What?
You know, Phil, people want to get to the nuts and bolts of this story, not whether or not you were looking at... Were you taking... What were you...
Okay, I'm just telling people where it was, that's all.
I want to know because I've got some very good friends that worked at Countrywide, and I'm hoping and praying that...
That what?
That I don't visit them in prison.
You think your friends is going to go to prison, Miss Gray?
I don't know. I'm scared to death.
Well, Margaret, I don't think any of them's going to prison. You know.
How do you know?
I don't, but I think that most of the heat is going to be absorbed by this this most likely massive fine that B of A is going to have to pay. This countrywide executive, Rebecca Marrone, or Marrone, the decision following a month-long trial focused on evidence that the countrywide program processed mortgage applications at high speed with little checking for fraud, misrepresentations, or other potential wrongdoing. There you go. There you go. You see, folks, you know, you can put into the system and you can put into law something that makes a lot of sense. Let's try to help people get home loans, and we'll make them affordable, and we'll make them subprime, and this and that. That might have worked. That might have worked. Do you understand that that was not the problem? Do you understand that that really was? Here's the problem. The problem is right here when these jackasses, these loan officers. What are you doing your nails for?
We're waiting for the...
Yeah, you're waiting to do the speech.
You're giving a speech now.
And so when I start... It's called a monologue. When I start monologuing, you're doing your nails?
Well, I'm not.
Well, whatever you're doing, bud, what is that?
I'm wiping off the bottle.
You're wiping off the bottle of the Starbucks that you bought. Are you going to keep on wiping that, or are you going to drink it?
When I will in a minute, but I'm just why I want to wipe it down.
There's a lot of germs, Phil, when you buy those out of the store.
Yeah, I understand that. Never mind. Okay, if you're going to be passing your emery board back to him and...
I'm sorry, I just wanted to get... I had a hangnail.
Give me that,
will you?
I had a hangnail. And will you finish wiping off the bottle and take a drink out of that thing or give it to me?
Sorry.
U.S. District Judge Jed Rakoff is expected to determine civil costs to be paid by the... What are you laughing at?
Rakoff.
That is pretty good.
Well, you know something, Phil? If I'm going to sit and listen to this kind of humor, I'd rather be out of the room.
Well, Margaret.
Rack off. I don't need to hear them talking about masturbating to breasts.
That's not what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, hold everything. You don't have to be interrupting me every 5 seconds. I don't know what's wrong with you guys today, but you're particularly... You make me want to commit murder even more so today than ever before. I want to commit homicide. Rack-off means...
Masturbating to...
I heard what you said. Almost a year to the day after we brought suit, a unanimous jury has found Countrywide, Bank of America, and senior executive Rebecca Marrone liable for making disastrously bad loans and systematically removing quality checks in favor of its own balance, said Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara in a...
Is that a real name?
Grab that away from me.
Let me see. Give me that.
Last time... I'm going to kill somebody, I swear to God.
Just looking at the name.
All right. Preet Bharara.
That's a real name.
Yes, it is a real name. There it is.
Sounds like something you made up.
Preet Bharara.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say.
It doesn't matter if you believe me. It's a real name. In a statement after the verdict, as demonstrated at trial, they adopted a program that they called The Hustle, which treated quality control and underwriting as a joke. See, this is it, folks. This is the psychopath in action. This is the psychopath in action. This is less than 4%, less than 3% of the country's population responsible for close to 40% of all the crime. This is the psychopath in action. When you ask yourself, how could any responsible person do something like this, a psychopath can, because it's all about them, and if there's one thing a psychopath doesn't know anything about, it's planning for failure, planning for what they're going to do if... perchance their grand dreams and grand schemes don't work out. In the mind of a psychopath, they always work out. They always get away with it. They never, ever plan for mistakes because they don't make any mistakes in their minds. You and I look at this, and we see an obvious fraud. The jury saw it, the jury read it, and the jury rendered its verdict. The psychopath, whoever it is in this scenario, it may be this executive, it might be somebody else that hasn't been caught yet. I don't know. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it, because those psychopaths are so ego-driven, man, they always get caught.
Well, now, why are you saying psychopath?
Because this is such a crime of It's such a sloppy crime in the end. It's such an arrogant crime. When the law says that you are supposed to qualify these people properly, and you have something called the hustle, where you just move these loans through in rapid succession without even without even a hint of paying attention to what the requirements are, because that's how sure you are, A, of getting away with it, and that's how greedy you are, because you want to make that number and get commissioned on it. Only a psychopath, only somebody with absolutely no conscience or empathy can do something like that. So I'm telling you right now, I shouldn't say this, but what the hell, it's an opinion. It could very well be that this, I would love to see some kind of a personality profile done on this executive, this Rebecca Miron, to find out if, in point of fact, that's what she is. You know how they test psychopaths? There's a very easy test. You can put them, you can put their brains, shall we say, under some type of CAT scan read. So, in other words, you are looking at electromagnetic response as you are asking them questions, or as you, more importantly, show them pictures.
Oh, this is the one where they show the pictures.
Where they show a picture of?
They show pictures of, like, animals being abused and that kind of thing?
Yeah, they'll show a picture that would make any of us, normal people, and that's a good word for it, too, normal. They're not sick, they're abnormal. And we're not necessarily healthy, we're normal. But they show pictures of things that would elicit emotion from a normal person, like an injured child, like an injured animal, something like that. And the electromagnetic reading, and I think there's also some kind of a thermal reading on the brain. I'm not sure exactly how it's done, but there's obvious response that happens among normal people. A psychopath, none. There's no response. It's almost as if the blood pressure doesn't go up, the heartbeat does not increase. And that's why a lot of these people, these psychopaths, can beat lie detector tests.
Well, now that's right there. Okay, right there. Frank's brother-in-law, Stu. We loved him. We had Stu over for...
Well, I don't say.
No jokes, bud, because if you tell a joke, I got a fork. I saved this fork from lunch.
Well, what are you doing with that, Margaret?
No, give me that.
Don't take...
Get that fork out of here. What are you doing with that?
If that guy opens his mouth... In any event, Stu was Frank's brother, and he's my brother-in-law. And I swear to God, there was a fire. We were looking at the neighbor's home burning to the ground over in Stu's subdivision. This was over when we were first married, and it was over in El Gulch, which is near Cucamonga. And this home burned to the ground. Stu's out in front of his house with one of those double-stick popsicles, and he brought the cooler out, and he was handing them out to the kids, set up a chaise lounge. And I went out, I said, Stu, you're watching. He says, isn't that terrible, but with the real flat tone.
Yeah, I remember, that's exactly right. They're going, yeah, that's really terrible.
Yes, exactly. They go, I said to him, I said, Stu, that is terrible. He goes, yes, it is, it's terrible. Lick, lick.
Well, that's kind of crude.
No, it's got, you're a dirty fool.
All right, take it easy, will you? So Stu, Frank's brother-in-law, huh?
No, my brother-in-law.
Yeah, okay, Frank's brother.
Yes, and I said, Stu, look at that home burning. He's passing out the double-stick popsicles, and the kids are sitting on the ground. Children are very impressionable, and they're watching him, and so they're copying him. They're staring at it. And I said, look at that. I said, Stu, that's horrible. There could be an animal or a pet trapped in there. And he went, yes, I know, that's bad. Oh, my God. And I walked into the house thinking, I felt I had the creeps. It just gave me the creeps, as if something like an icky... Like I was walking through a swamp and there was alligator dung.
All right. Thank you, Margaret, for that. Well, you know, there you go. Let that be a lesson, I guess. We're going to get back to more of this because this is a serious thing, man. The whole thing, the whole game that was played on us by these banksters is way out of control, man. I mean, it's like way off the charts. And to say, this is such an obvious example, in my opinion, of what the real problem was. The real problem was not so much the law that was in place, it's that there was no adherence to it. And some people are going to say, well, I mean, that's, you know, you should account for that kind of thing. Well, yeah, you should account for that kind of thing, but you don't. Nobody, and I'm telling you, no one anticipated people who are in business to make money so brazen that they cut their own throats. And that's what happened there with Countrywide. All right, we're going to be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And we got another, we got a circus story, bud?
Yeah, this one's about it with using a hook and everything on an elephant.
Okay, good. So we got a circus story. We'll be right back.
What is with the circus stories? You're really starting to bug me.
Take it easy. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number 855-500-7445. And we're talking here about the banksters there at Countrywide and B of A. And this, turn that fan off, will you, bud?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you turn a fan on.
It's too windy and it makes noises.
I know.
All right, so thank you. Talking about the banksters, the B of A's, and the Countrywides. Now, I say bankster with, turn the fan off, Jack. What do you...
What did I do, man? Sorry.
It gets hot in here. I understand that, you guys. All right. And I say that. I say that knowing full well that I have my home loan, and I have my retirement, and I have my primary checking, and I have my business checking, and I have my business merchant accounts, all with Bank of America. It's a great bank for my business and for my home and for my life. The fact that they've just been convicted of fraud probably should cause me to run screaming into the night without taking anything but my closest, few clothes and the kids and the pets and just run as though, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not doing that. Let's get Bob Green on the phone. He's a businessman that we all respect. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods, which is a grocery chain located in Buena Park, California, and we always like to get Bob on the line to talk business, employment, and so forth. Bob, have you been following this news?
Yeah, I have. It's difficult not to follow this news because it's been pretty much at the top of everyone's list today.
All right, so what you have here is a bank that has extended loans, a mortgage company extending loans to people that could not pay them back. This is a slam dunk, isn't it?
Well, you know, Phil, it's interesting. It's a slam dunk, you say. I lent some money once, many, many years ago, to a brother of mine, who is a gentleman I think you've met at my home, Stan.
Yes, I did meet Stan.
Right, and Stan is right now he's living in the Southeast. He lives in Atlanta with his wife and two kids, two children by his marriage to Elena, and two children from a prior marriage. And Stan was starting out in business, and I felt, as is evidenced, I think, by his success in business today, he owns a line of carpet cleaning companies, and he also has interest in a couple of mills, textile mills, one of the two remaining textile mills in the Atlanta area.
So he's a man of success.
I would say that Stan's a successful man, and he's weathered this recession very well. But at one time, Stan, he's my younger brother, he came out of school, and he was, as we all were, a little bit wild. Not so wild as he was running afoul of the law or anything, but he was a guy that, he burned up a lot of money, and he needed a loan. And Stan wanted a loan of $10,000. To get into a food concession that another buddy of his from college, they both went to Cal State Fullerton, that another buddy of his said would be a good investment.
Okay.
So I extended that $10,000 to him, my brother. And Stan invested his $10,000 not in the food concession, he invested it in cocaine.
Oh, God, Bob.
Yeah. It's a common problem.
Well, there you go, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's a common problem. But I said to him, when all of this...
And he didn't get into any legal trouble.
No, he didn't get any legal trouble at all. As it turned out, he had played me against a girlfriend of his. Her father had lent him this $10,000 for the... it was a food concession that would be in a cart on the street there in front of the Hall of Justice in Los Angeles. And this was going to be a slam dunk. He said that you've got all of these lawyers and all of these clerks and all of these judges coming out of this legal, coming out of this courthouse at noontime looking for some lunch. There were hot dog stands there, and this was a Mexican food concession of some kind.
Okay.
It did not do well. One of the problems when you are dealing with foods, especially when you're dealing with a food cart that is out on the street and is exposed to the elements as they will be, you've got to take certain precautions. There's a lot of guys that have these food concessions. You've seen them in New York, Phil, and other big cities. They do very well. This one did not. There was, I believe, a couple of cases of people getting pretty sick, and the food would putrefy, and it was not a good thing.
Okay, so that $10,000 went where?
That $10,000 went into the air, just like the other $10,000, went up his nose. And
so that's $20,000 that he spent on a business that went belly up and on drugs.
On drugs, yeah.
All right, I want to get back to you, Bob, if I could. We're going to take our break here and get back into this story from Bob Green as we discuss Bank of America, and we discuss the large fine that they're going to be paying. At least I'm assuming it's going to be a fine. They have been found guilty. They're found liable, I should say. You don't really find guilt necessarily in a lawsuit. They have been found liable for Countrywide's fraud in the mortgage fraud that engulfed so much of this country for so very, very long in 2008, 2009, and, well, even today. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back after the news break. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com. So you're saying that... hold on. We'll be right back, folks.
Phil Henry Show will be right back. Stick around.
The morning is better.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. I want to point that song out.
Well, it's very disturbing.
This is a great band. This is a band called Bring Me the Horizon. I suggest you buy this entire ensemble of songs, if you will, almost as if it's a wardrobe of clothing, and put it on and steep yourself in it.
And then what, cut my wrists?
Yeah, that's very judgmental.
I would wind up slitting a wrist if I listened to that.
Well, I think it's brilliant music. It's tortured. That particular song is very tortured. All right, welcome back. We have Bob Green on the line with us as we continue talking with Bob about the banksters, and I say banksters because I know that Bob is probably has a decidedly different opinion on this. Bank of America, ladies and gentlemen, was found liable for the mortgage fraud of Countrywide. One of Countrywide's executives will most likely be going to jail. I know I gave my opinion last hour on the whole psychopath thing.
Which, I want to jump in, Bob, and say that Phil's not a psychiatrist.
Well, that's a very good point, Margaret, and I appreciate you bringing that up.
I know I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not saying that I am. It's just my... You know, you don't have to be a fireman to know that a house is on fire. Okay?
Well, that's the standard excuse that people give when...
Well, I think Margaret's point is that before we start calling people psychopaths... And before we start calling people psychotic and we start calling them pyromaniacs and perverts and everything else that you want to call them...
I'm not calling them pyromaniacs. No, I'm not saying anything. I said psychopath. That's a very specific thing.
Well, that's fine, but she made the point that you're not a psychiatrist. Now, that's not to say that you can't have an informed opinion. I agree. But I want to get back to this story. I was telling about my brother-in-law, Stan. My brother, Stan, who had borrowed his $10,000 from me. He said he needed it for a business investment. He proceeded to go to Las Vegas. This was following the debacle with the food concession that he was involved in. He went to Las Vegas. He was there from January of 2007 until, I think, around June or July of 2007. Las Vegas police found him wandering the strip at about 4 o'clock in the morning. He was down near the Four Corners. And he had just gone into the Barbary Coast and played, I think, one or two games of craps before he walked out and began to stagger down toward the desert. And that's when the Vegas police took him. They put him in for a 72-hour hold. And he said to me what he really needed was this $10,000 to get this taco stand going.
Hold on for just a minute, because what I'm hearing here,
this is a very involved story.
Yeah, it's involved. He's my brother, and I love my brother. He's, keep in mind, he's got an MBA, Phil, from the University of Southern California. So let's not...
I thought you said he went to Cal State.
He went to Cal Fullerton, and he got his MBA at USC.
Okay.
And by the way, a USC MBA is as valuable as any you're going to get from Harvard, and I will go toe-to-toe with anybody on that. Thank you.
Those are some pretty tall words.
All right, I don't want to argue which is a better business. Harvard has the reputation. I understand that Southern California's got a great reputation, certainly when it comes to West Coast business.
No. Not just West Coast business. The whole, as my father used to say, the whole Megillah. Did you ever see that show when you were a kid, Megillah Gorilla? We've got a gorilla for sale. Megillah Gorilla for sale.
Yeah, I saw that on a Cartoon Express just the other day.
Right. You remember that, Phil?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, my father used to say the whole Megillah. And,
So what is that? That's when he would say the whole Megillah what?
That's what he'd say. He'd say the whole Megillah meant everything. And I think USC's got the best business school.
On all of the Megillah Gorilla.
No, not the Megillah Gorilla. Of the whole Megillah, the Megillah Gorilla's got nothing to do with it. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, I'm sorry you did, too. But it's not... Megillah Gorilla is a cartoon character, okay?
No, I know that. I know how to read.
Yeah, I've seen Megillah Gorilla, too.
Okay, fine. So you guys know it's a cartoon character.
Yeah. Why? But that's...
Megillah, they called it Megillah for the very reason that Mr. Green is talking. The word Megillah means all, everything, okay?
Now,
what do you mean, well? That's exactly what it means.
Well, Bob, you have to understand that Robert and Bud go their own way on these things. They make up their own minds in due time.
Well, they can make up their own minds if they want to, and they'll be left standing on the platform when the Bob Green... excuse me. When the Bob Green Express leaves town. So what's the point? What are you laughing at?
The Bob Green Express? I didn't know...
What do you have? Is that the...
The Bob Green, in other words, when I'm here to talk to you about business. Isn't that what you asked me to come on the show about?
Yes, sir.
All right, then get on board or stand there on the platform like some guy in a cream of wheat box.
That's not necessary, Bob.
Well, then let's get it together here. I'm making some statements here.
All right, that's fine, but that's not necessary. So let's get off the topic of MBAs and get back to where we were, which is your brother Stan... You know, with all due respect, you're talking about Bud and all these guys. Your brother Stan is the guy that wound up staggering in through the desert, having lost... Did he already lose your $10,000?
No. He lost the $10,000 that he borrowed from his wife, from Sissy's parents, and got into some trouble with cocaine use, and got into some gambling trouble, and they put him in for a 72-hour psychiatric hold. He gets out, he calls me up, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do.
How old was he at this time?
Stan at that, he was 31. Right now he's 35, so it was 4 years ago.
And he's doing great in Atlanta?
Yeah, but hold on, I'm going to tell you how he got there. So Stan says to me, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know, you're the guy that was in a padded cell. Because I'm looking at him through glass. And you have to understand, I don't think, Phil... I don't know how many people in your audience know what it's like to stare at your own brother through a pane of glass, and behind him is a guy about 6'3", and he's holding that jacket. He's holding a straitjacket with the leather belts, and he's holding it so that Stan can't see it because his back is to the guy, but he's holding it so I can see it, and he's shaking it as if to say, you better keep this guy's brains inside of his skull because I would like nothing better than to slip him into this ensemble here.
Why would he be warning you?
You're saying that the attendant is shaking the jacket at you.
That's exactly right.
God almighty, that sounds like just the most inconsiderate place.
It's a very, very good psychiatric facility, Phil. It was the county psychiatric facility there in Las Vegas, which I think is one of the best, if you think about it. Las Vegas, Nevada has to handle a very high percentage of individuals who lose control of their, literally of their minds, because they've lost all their money, or they can't have enough sex. You know, there's too many willing prostitutes, and they lose their minds, sexually.
What do you mean they lose their mind sexually? What does that mean?
It means you're a man, you go to Las Vegas, and there are so many women to have sex with that you lose your mind. I mean, this happened to people that I know.
That sounds kind of strange, but go ahead. I've heard of people getting STDs.
No, not STDs. I'm talking about going to Vegas and seeing that there is so much freedom, so much fun, so much sex, and so much gambling that you're driven mad by it. That's all I can say.
All right, so we have your brother. Do you think that's what happened to your brother?
Oh, I have no doubt, yeah.
All right, so we have your brother in a holding, in a lockup, in a psychiatric lockup. You go to visit him. So, folks, what we're talking about here is the countrywide...
Well, Phil, this is my brother, you know.
I understand. I got to take another break. Hold on, Bob.
Oh, would you people get it
Robert Green, what did he just say?
He said we should get it together.
Well, Bob, I want to get it together here, man, but I'm supposed to be talking about the countrywide mortgage fraud, and I'm on his brother in a 72-hour psychiatric lockup.
Yeah, it's going along pretty good.
I think it's going along pretty good, Senator.
Oh, sure, yeah. It's just following a very logical path. What are you talking about, man?
Well, let's see where it goes.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. All right, we are seeing where it goes, as Margaret said, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as Robert Green talks with us about his, about his brother, Stan. We're going to find out more about that, and we're also going to find out where the real culprit lies. Where's the real problem when it comes to these mortgage frauds, when it comes to these mortgage problems? Was it the law? Was it the system itself? In other words, not the system. Was it the legal freedom? Or was it that the system itself, the law was good, the system itself was just too prone to manipulation and fraud? World famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-850-7445. 855, what did I say? 855-500-7445. That's it.
What is it again?
85.
Yeah, what is it? I'm writing it down.
Eight, never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
855 and it.
World famous Phil Hendry Show back here from the El Pacifico on this Thursday, what is this, Wednesday night? And coming up this weekend on Sunday, of course, we have our game of the week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman. I will be at the San Francisco Sketch Festival. I'm going to give you the dates for that, doing a one-man show. As a matter of fact, it's going to be sort of a rollout for our one-man show. That will be the San Francisco Sketch Festival. It will be in January, and I'll give you the specific dates for that. I've also been invited to be a narrator on Drunk History, and that's a funny show, no question about it. I just don't know if I can get as hammered as I see some of these guys get, you know, the narrators.
Well, that one guy, Phil, the Duncan Tussle, was that his name?
Yeah.
He's throwing up into the toilet, I don't know.
Well, in any event, there's some things ahead.
So you're going to get drunk and you're going to go do a sketch? Are you going to get drunk on a sketch festival?
No, I ain't getting drunk on a sketch festival. We'll let you know what's going on, folks. All right, so 855-500-7445. Robert Green has joined us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, as we continue talking to Bob about the countrywide mortgage fraud. All right, let's get to the gist of the story here, Bob, about your brother, Stan.
All right, I didn't know that I was sidetracking you. I mean...
Well, no, you're not, but we've got him in a psychiatric facility.
Well, all of this is to say that he asked me for $10,000 to invest, to keep this taco... It was a taco stand of some kind.
A taco stand?
You said this is a portable concession?
Yes, it was one of these portable concessions that would be in front of the courthouse there in Los Angeles, in the city of Los Angeles. And it was tacos and, you know, tamales and this kind of thing. And I said, okay, and he put that up his nose.
So I just want to be clear.
Phil, the reason why we're not getting... Excuse me, I shouldn't say. It's your show.
No, go ahead.
Well, you keep interrupting me.
Yeah, but you gave him $10,000.
Gave the guy $10,000, and he's in a nut bin.
Excuse me, my brother was not in a nut bin.
All right, Bud, let me... But essentially, that's the point.
You gave him $10,000 while he was in a padded cell?
I did not say a padded cell, did I?
You said that there was an attendant standing behind him.
Yes, that's true.
With a straitjacket.
I don't know what kind of jacket it was. It had leather belts, it had hooks, and the attendant was shaking it up and down with a sort of a half smile on his face.
What the heck?
You know, I don't need this. You know, I had I had real reservations about coming on this rotten show.
Oh, man, that really pisses me off.
Well, Phil...
No, don't well Phil me. This guy's talking about his brother being inside of a soft room. There's an attendant standing behind him shaking a straitjacket. Oh, no, not a straitjacket. It's got belts and hooks, and the guy had a half smile on his face. And I'm not supposed to say soft room, and we're not supposed to say that his brother was in a nuthatch, but this guy has given him $10,000 while he's inside that room. And this is after the Las Vegas police found him wandering in the desert.
They found him down the strip a little bit, on the edge of the desert. He wasn't wandering in the desert.
I heard that. Did I not hear this man say the desert?
That's what he said, Miss Ray. He said his brother Stan was wandering in the desert in LA and the San Francisco, Las Vegas... Or the San Vegas...
No, the Las Francisco...
You shut up, Las Francisco. The Las Vegas police picked him up and put him in for a 72-hour hold.
All right. And what's your problem with that?
I got no problem with it. I got no problem at all with it. The question that I asked Bob, why did he give it... And you did, too. Let the record show you did, too.
All right.
That he gave his brother $10,000... to start a taco stand.
Well, the taco stand had already been started up, but then it failed.
So that's another thing. The taco stand had started up, had failed, and he's hitting his brother up for another 10 G's to keep it going or to resurrect it or something, right? And, okay, fine. You know, you understand. A guy wants to keep a business going. All right, fine. It's a risk. No, he doesn't take the money and put it into the taco stand, which sounds like an absolutely stupid idea for any kind of a street vendor, if you want my honest opinion.
And why is that, Phil? Now, see, that's racist. That is racist.
Why is that racist?
Why can't a taco guy, you know, you call him a taco bender if you want. Why can't a taco bender...
Hey, whoa, taco bender? You know, you realize that that's considered a vituperative racial slur.
That is, McGray.
Oh, you guys, why don't you go ahead and stick the other one up there? Are you kidding?
Stick the other one up there?
Yes, it's a... You guys say shake the other one, see if there's bells on it. We, as women, we say put the other one up there. Or stick it in... Never mind. You know what? I'm going... Where are the tampons again?
Yeah, she's got to change tampons, bud.
Get in the upper drawer and...
And I don't need your sarcasm at all.
Upper drawer and an extra thick.
And I don't need you telling me that they're extra thick. God, both of you... I would love to have ringside seats for when they stick the two of you on a spit.
You keep on laughing, you know.
Well, what else can a guy do, man? I've been doing this nutball show for however long, and all I can do is laugh. Did you get him back?
Yeah, I got Mr. Green, and he said he's sorry for hanging up, but he didn't know what else to do. He was emotional, and he felt very emotional.
Okay, hey, Bob?
Yeah, Phil.
I apologize if I offended you.
No. I apologize for hanging up on you. I found myself revisiting that day that I saw Stan in the lockup, and that Boone stood behind him with the big fat grin on his face, like, you know.
I understand. So you gave him the 10 grand, and he didn't pay you back.
He didn't pay me back, and I was out 10 grand. But I'm going to tell you something right now, and this is the lesson for our government, for Obama, and the rest of these touchy-feely liberals that want everything to have government control, everything to have the government approval, the stamp of approval. I'm surprised we don't have the official Barack Obama seal of approval, like a big O, just blank, and then you go to whatever authority and you say, see, I've got my big O. You know, Phil, it's not, I don't think it's coincidental that if we were to see a Barack Obama stamp of approval, it'd be a big fat zero.
No, wouldn't it be an O?
That's what a zero is. It's an O.
But Bud's technically right. It's an O. It's not a zero.
No, it isn't. No, not in the world that I envision. Not the world I'm living in. It's a zero, believe me. And I can tell you, Phil...
No, let me just stop you for a second, okay?
I think that this country's in serious trouble. If they think they're going to get away with this.
Hold on. Are you telling me that countrywide shouldn't have been adjudicated guilty and that B of A shouldn't be liable?
I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is the more of these cases and the more of these verdicts, the fewer and fewer people are going to be like myself. If I ran a bank...
No, well, hold on. Are you telling me that was a good loan you made?
Wait, can I say something, please? Or are you just going to keep talking?
Yeah, there's no need to be rude, Bob.
I apologize, but I'm trying to... I lent my brother that $10,000. He didn't pay me back. He put it up his nose. Okay? All right?
Then shouldn't you have made some kind of a contingency?
Whoa, there, Sunshine. Would you hold on for a minute? Can you hold on for a minute?
Yeah.
I lent my brother $10,000. He went right out. I mean, no sooner did I lend him that $10,000 that he drove his car one half of a block to this Mary was the name of this broad, excuse my language, this young lady. She had a condominium over there in the Dapple area. One half of a block, he scored, I don't know how many, quarter ounces, and there it began. So within, I'd say, a good 2 minutes of me handing him the check, he got down to this chick's house, and I guess had her put a bunch of this stuff on the cuff until he could cash the check.
And he was snorting cocaine.
And he was snorting cocaine.
Okay, so my point is this. Isn't that your fault?
No, what? Where do you get that? He said to me that he wanted it for a business, didn't he?
Yeah, no. Yes, he did say that.
All right, so where are you getting that it's my fault? And this is the problem that we have. I lent him the money because he needed it for a business. He lied to me, or something happened between the time he got that check and the time he finally made the decision to visit this Mary, whoever or whatever she is, and go ahead and pack his nose. I don't know what happened to him, but I think that would bear some investigation.
Bob, I, you're a very good businessman. I understand that, and I respect that, but I think you're looking at this real weird. Here comes Margaret now.
Yes, here comes Margaret. I was listening in the toilet, and forgive me, Bob, but I am having a very difficult...
You got a heavy flow, is what she said.
You are a filthy...
Hey, watch it!
No.
You do that!
Yeah, get out. Get out of here. Get him out of here, Robert.
What's going on?
Just get him out of here. Bob, hold on for a minute. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. We'll be back talking with Robert Greene here about the thing that happened, the countrywide thing that happened, you know. And we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show this Wednesday night, 855-500-7445. Robert Greene on the line with us. We've had a little bit of contention. We're talking about countrywide. We're going to take some of your phone calls here at 855-500-7445. And it's been slightly contentious because, Bob, it's a very unusual story you're telling me about your brother. But I'd like to get to the nuts and bolts, if we could.
That's exactly what I
want to
do.
All right. So your brother borrows this money from you. He doesn't pay it back. He doesn't use it for the business loan. Instead, he uses it for other purposes. We don't even have to get into, why he used it.
Well, that's what I would have preferred. I gave you the background because I thought that I would be accused of holding back. I'd rather not talk about it because it's not relevant.
Well, how do you feel that's not relevant, Bob? I'm sorry to interrupt, Phil. How do you feel it's not relevant that you give your brother $10,000 and he uses it to purchase cocaine, and he purchases this cocaine, not, in your words, not 2 minutes after borrowing this money?
My question would be this, Bob. When you gave him that $10,000, he had every intention of investing it in this business.
He had every intention of, look, let's call it what it is, Phil. I'm not, I realize that it was a silly investment, but I trust my brother. He had every intention of sinking it into a taco stand. A taco stand operating off of a street. So let's be clear what we're discussing here. We're talking about a taco stand with one of those umbrellas out on a sidewalk near the gutter, and you're expecting people to eat that food.
Well, yeah, you're expecting people to eat that. Look, I've purchased food from street vendors before. It's good food. I don't know how many hot dogs I've purchased, like in New York, for instance. So it's not necessarily, I'm not decrying it for that. You seem to think it's a bad investment.
Absolutely, I think it's a bad. No wonder it went under, because if you're talking about food, you're serving up this slop from some bucket that you're heating with a propane, and the bucket is out on a street someplace. Now, the thoroughfares of America, Phil, are filled with all kinds of traffic, vehicular traffic, human traffic, some of the best people that we know, some of the brightest people that we know, and some of the worst, some of the lowest, forgive me for saying, some of the lowest garbage and scum that God ever allowed to live past the cradle, and you're serving food there? So,
Well, you gave him the money.
Bob, you gave him the money for this business.
Yes, I gave him the money, because he promised to pay me back.
All right, you gave him the money, and he didn't pay you back.
Exactly.
Okay, so, therefore, what?
What I'm saying is, he made the promise to pay me back, and he didn't pay me back. He gave me his word that he'd pay me back.
But he didn't.
Exactly he didn't. Exactly he didn't. Are you telling me I shouldn't have paid him, that I shouldn't have given him money? This is at the crux of what we're talking about. When you have a company...
Well, Margaret here, when you... Countrywide, you're expecting Countrywide to pay people money.
Hold on, Margaret, because you're starting to panic a little bit.
I am not panicking.
All right, but you're... Just hold on. Countrywide had a bunch of people come to them and say, we want to buy a house. Okay. Are you going to pay it back? Yes. All right, sign this document.
Since when are we now operating a lemonade stand here, okay?
What's this we, okay? I don't see... You got a rocket in your pocket? This we. We're the ones, the people that lend the money.
All right, you know what? I've lent money, too. From what you're saying, this was a personal loan that you floated to your brother, and I've done that. That's not professional lending. That's just a brother to a brother or a friend to a friend. I'm talking about professional lending.
There's no difference, Phil, because we're talking about a business... Where you say, I got money, do you want it? Yeah. Are you going to pay it back? Yeah. Well, you didn't pay it back. Well, yeah, I didn't. Well, what are you putting me in jail for that for? You understand what I'm saying? Every last one of these deadbeats should be found and should be arrested and should be put in prison.
Bob, we are long past the days of debtor prison.
Well, you know something? Are we really? Because I see somebody going to jail. And they work for a bank.
That's not a debtor's prison. They're going to jail for fraud.
Well, it's the same thing. If you defraud a bank by not paying the bank back, why shouldn't you go to jail? This woman's going to jail. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give it to you as straight as I can. We would have more people paying back loans. We wouldn't have as many people taking out loans that they cannot pay back if the threat of a jail cell was in their future. You have a jail cell, and let me tell you something else, Phil. If people could have seen my brother that day as that goon, that nuthouse goon that they hire, you know, they hire these guys who're 6'3", and they haven't got any medical training. They hire these guys because they're big, and they can sit on some guy that has flipped his lid and is ready to start eating the metal bars. They can sit on that guy until some doctor arrives with a syringe about the size of a banana and stick that in the guy's rear end and pump him so full of paraldehyde and thorazine that he staggers, he doesn't walk, he staggers through the next 8 months. Now, I am telling you, if you had that in your future, friend, you'd not only pay back your loan, you'd ask anybody else, do you have any loans you need paid back, because I'll do it for you. That's how scared you'd be.
All right, so again, we're going back to the idea of debtor's prison.
Well, what is it with you people in debtor's prison?
They had debtor's prison back in the 19th century in the United States and in other countries. It didn't work then, and it won't work now.
What do you mean it didn't work then? What makes you think it didn't work then? It worked, but we just didn't have the jail space for them.
Well, all right. I we can argue this. You do make one good point, and I will give you this. If you put bank executives in prison, why not put people in prison who don't pay back loans? There is a difference, however.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is that when a man signs a paper and says, all right, I will pay this back, and finds himself financially unable to, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't look down the road and see that as a possibility, it is slightly different from someone intentionally and right out of the gate intending to defraud intending to take the money and run, intending to...
Wait, hold on. What do you mean defraud? Did Countrywide close their doors and run? Did they hide? Did they change the name of the company? No, they were in business. They stood there for the whole world. They stood there and turned around and basically, as a company, stood there, turned around, dropped their pants, pointed to their rear ends, and said, "Have at it. We're still here."
Well, yes, they are still there, and this one executive is going to go to prison. I think more should go to prison.
Maybe. And maybe I agree with you, and maybe I think those people that ought to go to prison are the deadbeats that didn't pay back these loans. I don't know how many of them there are, but this woman today, this Rebecca, whatever her name is, excuse me for saying this, Phil, and I don't want to offend anyone's religious sensibilities, but once upon a time when I was a little boy, my grandmother sat me down, and I was about to kneel down and say my prayers, and she said to me, "Jesus died for our sins." And I think today, people across this country and possibly across this world can say Rebecca Maroney is going to prison for our sins.
All right, so we got the Jesus analogy. I get it.
No, hold on for a minute. The Jesus analogy, is that... The lady's going to prison, Phil. She's going to be inside... It's going to be caged heat. And I suggest that you see that film and understand what it is that Miss Maroney will be facing as she goes to prison because a lot of slobs, deadbeats, and a bunch of people, and let's face it, you know, a lot of minorities.
I'm sorry?
I said a lot of them.
Well, I can hear you're saying a lot of minorities.
No, because they were trying to give loans to minorities.
Hey, man, you point that out. Why are you whispering that?
I didn't mean to whisper it.
Yeah, you did. You're whispering it.
So now we have the racial component here, Bob, which is equally nefarious. It's specious. There's not enough.
Not enough languages? You need a new language to invent a word for... You want to call me a douchebag? Go ahead.
All right, you're a douchebag.
Yeah, that's good. That's English. You didn't need... What do you got? How about Esperanto, bud? Get him a dictionary.
All right, look, you can be as smart-ass as you want, but the bottom line here is there's a law that's been violated. The woman's going to prison. You're telling me that this lady is dying for people's sins.
That lady's going to prison when a whole bunch of deadbeats ought to be going to prison. That's what I'm saying. I'm Bob Green, and I am the CEO of Fraser Foods. I employ a lot of people. I got a brother that's got a cocaine problem. Today, he's living a pretty good life in Atlanta. He has to stay close to his parole officer. But he's married. He's got kids. He's got a beautiful home. He's got a brand spanking new Mercedes. His wife's got they got matching Mercedes. He's got a beautiful home in Alpharetta. They've got a large riding stable for their daughter. She's taking horseback riding lessons. He's on his feet. And I thank God for that, because my brother deserves that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your brother's doing so well after two $10,000 loans that he couldn't pay back.
Well, that was to his father-in-law, who frankly deserved to get hosed a little bit, and the other was to me, and I deserved it because I should have known better. It's Stan. Stan has always been that way. My brother Stan is a lowlife. Everyone knows it. My mother knows it. My father knows it. I love him. I love him dearly. But he's a dirty lowlife, and one of these days they're going to find him in an alley with a knife in his chest.
Oh, my God. This is your brother?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I'm just telling you, I love my brother. But they're going to find him in an alley with a knife sticking out of his chest.
And this is the guy that you just argued in favor of getting a $10,000 loan.
No, I said he promised to pay me back, and he didn't. That's why I think he's going to be found one of these days in an alley with a knife in his chest, another in his throat.
All right, okay, that's fine. Thank you very much, Bob. Thank you.
That is unbelievable, the story that he... And to think that it's all okay with him.
Well, it's not okay with him. He's saying that if you're going to put bankers in prison, then put the people who took the loans out in prison. But here's a guy that lent $10,000 to a brother that had already bombed out on a taco stand in front of the courthouse in downtown L.A. He gave him $10,000 to rehabilitate this business. Turns out he sticks that up his nose within about a half a minute of getting it. He's found wandering the desert. He's in a psychiatric hold. He gives him the money. And what else was going on with this guy?
Dale, he's talking about how that his brother promised to pay it back.
Yeah, that's Bob. He promised to pay it back. Why wouldn't I give it to him? He promised.
And he wants to put people like that in prison.
I don't know about the prison thing. The debtor's prison thing has been tried, mankind has long experience with debtor's prison. I don't know that it gets anybody to pay their bills. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. You sure as hell cannot correct a gambling problem with prison, and that may be some of the problem that some people have. You can't correct, you can't correct someone losing their job. But I think that there probably should be, I mean, we have laws against defrauding institutions, and maybe some of those should be applied to some of the folks that took out these loans. I don't bloody well know. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Visit our online store at philhenryshow.com. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things there for you to enjoy, from CDs to keychains to baseball caps to coffee mugs, two shot glasses, two hoodies, two T-shirts. It's all there, philhenryshow.com, in our online store. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, we have next hour. I've got some penance to do because of yesterday's whole contretemps, as I mentioned, concerning the 30th anniversary of the possibility of nuclear war. I butchered the whole thing. Six Ways to Sunset. Margaret, you guys have... oh, man, don't do it to me.
God, man, look at it. They knew they were going to do it. I knew they were going to do it.
What are you talking about?
They just had a Reese's Mini commercial on TV. God, I love those.
Oh, would you buck up, Phil, and man up? What do you want to do? Go buy a bag of those after the show?
I'm telling you, I could sit down with two bags of those. It's bad. I love those things, man. I got some problem with the... I got an addiction to chocolate. I don't have an addiction to chocolate, but I love it so much, and it gives me a super headache. I got like an allergy to it, you know?
Yeah, that's like heroin, man. It's a good thing you don't have no heroin, like a heroin habit, because you'd be shooting up heroin even though it was bad for you.
Yeah, well, heroin is bad for you, but everybody shoot it up anyway.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, you mean like alcoholism?
Yes, exactly. People drink alcohol even though it's bad for them. Why? Because they have that allergy, and you're the same way. You know what will happen to you when you eat chocolate, and yet, like a dirty, and excuse me, Phil, but like a crawling junkie, like a filthy crawling junkie, you know, you're...
Well, look at you with the half smile on your face.
Well, it is kind of... It's interesting. It fascinates me to think of you that way.
Oh, okay, Dr. Frankenstein.
How dare you?
Oh, give me a break. All right, so we have...
What does that mean, give you a break? What was I doing?
Well, you know, it fascinates you to see me like a dirty, crawling, stinking junkie. What's that mean?
Just the idea of you being weak and vulnerable. I don't know. I for a moment there, I was thinking of stepping on one of your eyes with my high heels. Isn't that... forgive me, Phil.
Wow.
Yeah, you need a doctor.
I said forgive me, but I...
You fantasize about that?
When I see Phil acting all arrogant, I just, for a moment there, I had the idea that I wanted to step... I wanted to grind the heel of one of my high heels right into an eyeball.
You need a doctor.
No, I don't need a doc. It's no more destructive than any woman that wants to tie...
I'm sure you probably... You want to be beaten on the butt and have a... Ow!
Won't you talk to me like that?
Take it easy. All right, so coming up, we're going to be talking about the near nuclear war and how I screwed things up, because I did get some things wrong there. Now, there's a little bit of news here, and I keep threatening to talk about this, and I never do. Whatever happened to that doctor that we used to have on the show that was the monkey specialist?
Yeah, that was a guy from Tupelo, Mississippi.
He had a primate research center in Tupelo, Mississippi, and his whole thing was studying monkeys. Anyway, this doesn't have anything to do with zoos, although we do not like zoos in equal with equal fervor to the distaste we have for circuses. But this is to L.A. City's credit. L.A. City, the City Council of Los Angeles, has banned the use of bullhooks on circus elephants. Now, during this meeting, which began at 10 a.m., the council voted unanimously to prohibit the use of ankus or bull hooks, which is a tool used by animal trainers at circuses to keep large elephants in line. This ban will be in effect in 2017. According to a council member, Paul Koretz, the hook has a sharp spike attached to it that activists believe is dangerous to the animals and say there are more humane means of controlling these animals. And let me just say, folks, you know, it's hard to take a stand on something like this and not have people judge you as some wild-eyed, liberal, activist, PETA freak, which I'm not. None of that stuff. I ain't none of that. I just like animals, and I also, I can't stand animals performing for the pleasure of humans when they are put through these torturous kinds of procedures or methods, or they're kept in line. And you know, you got to understand something. I grew up in Arcadia, the home of Santa Anita Racetrack. I love thoroughbred racing, and I grew up with the belief, and I was taught, that thoroughbred horses are treated in a most humane way. Now, believe me, I'm willing to accept the truth about anything.
So you are willing to accept that if thoroughbred horses are proven to be treating the people, not the people.
Yeah, if the thoroughbred abuses a human.
If the thoroughbred abuses the human?
No. If the human...
All right, there it is. There it is, right there. If the human is ridden by a horse... Oh, for God's sake.
Will you guys get it together? You're talking about if a horse is abusing a human, you're in favor...
No. If the horse is abused by a human...
Yes, if the horse is abused by the human.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So you're willing to accept that if that's the case, if a thoroughbred horse is abused by a human, you will divest yourself of your interest in thoroughbred racing?
Yes, unless they change things drastically. I don't see anything wrong with a thoroughbred that... Keep something in mind, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what we have to remember. Horses are domesticated, okay? Horses are domesticated. That means that horses have generation after generation after generation been born into and grown up in the family of domesticated animals that humans have around them. So horses recognize the human animal as part of their natural environment. That's the same as dogs, that's the same as cats, that's the same as any domesticated animal. An animal that has a short enough lifespan whereby you can domesticate, you can breed them so that they become used to humans. This is, the domestication of the horse took place 5,000 years ago. Okay, so it's been a long damn time. Same thing with cats, dogs, and others. We're not talking about that when we talk about circus elephants, when we talk about lions, when we talk about the big cats, when we talk about pandas. We're talking about wild animals that will always be wild and will always belong in the wild and will never, ever truly belong in captivity around human beings. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I'd love to talk about this more, but... See, you just squeezed through on that one.
No, I didn't. I know what I'm talking about. We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Just take a cigarette break, Margaret. You know, you can't win them all, okay?
Okay, Daddy.
Well, don't be so childish. You didn't win this one. You didn't win this one. That's just the way that it goes, man. I don't know what to tell you. World famous Phil Henry Show.
What do you mean I didn't win this one?
Margaret, I got done telling you that if they are domesticated animals, it's different from if they're wild animals.
Yeah, you did, Margaret. You got beaten down.
Whatever. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
She keeps on. Now, say that again. If the horse is ridden by...
You're talking... Horses don't abuse humans. Humans abuse horses.
Oh.
It's the Phil Henry Show here, starting our final hour on this Wednesday night with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard, and some news. What just dropped there?
Hey, look at your glasses.
Thank you. And can I pick the news up off the floor? That's good, boy.
Well, you put it there.
All right. Anyway, welcome back to the program. So I was talking about this whole thing with I'm not going to get into a whole animal rights thing, guys. I'm just as irritated as some of you. When it comes to PETA, yeah, PETA does. PETA's problem has always been this. They come off like they care about animals more than people. No, I don't care about animals more than people, and I don't say that we shouldn't eat animals. I'm not saying that at all. I don't, less and less, because I'm finding that the fat, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, are you eating the ribeye? The rib, I love a good ribeye. I love the marbled ribeye. And if it means that, you know, Phil, I don't want to get into the whole, I admire the work of PETA, and I am an animal rights activist. But a good marbled ribeye with the good fat in it, what are you looking at, Bud? See, when he starts doing that...
Well, she tells me I'm not allowed to make a comment, and I'm not, but what's that word that you say...
What word?
Irony?
Yeah, I think there's... I think it's ironic when you say you like the marbled fat.
You want me to smack you, Greg?
Hey, watch it.
But he's begging for it.
Oh, no. You're... Well...
Well, Margaret, what's the story, okay?
What do you mean, Margaret, what's the story? That thing there with the plate in its head just said that it was ironic that I said I liked marbled... It doesn't mean I sit there sucking down liquid fat, Bud.
Well, didn't you say that you soaked your napkin in the butter at the bottom of the popcorn box?
Are you high on paint again? I never said any... If I said that, that was when Frank and I were having problems. That's what he's referring to.
No, wait a minute.
Don't make a big deal out of it, Phil.
No, I'm just asking. Are you saying that that's what you did do? You're admitting to that?
Am I admitting to that? Well, what is it? Am I an escaped Nazi war criminal now because I did that?
No, but I mean, it's just... I never heard the story.
Neither did I.
Yeah, she told him when she had a problem when Frank left her because of the marbled fat.
Frank never left me because of marbled fat, you ass and a half. He didn't leave me. We were having problems. And I told him to get out. Well, the getting was good.
What happened, if you don't mind me asking?
We were having problems there. Is that good enough for you?
All right, fine. I mean,
Tell you what, Phil, just to show that I'm not hiding anything. Get Frank on the line. He's at home. Get him on the phone.
Well, Margaret, we don't have to talk to him.
Get him on the phone. Bud?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because I don't want the perception that I'm hiding anything.
It's none of my business, you know. I don't know where he is. Is that Frank? Frank, you there? Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry. Are you there?
Frank?
Hey, how you doing?
Frank, how you been? It's Phil.
I'm a bun? What? Who is this?
Phil Hendry.
Oh, how you doing, young man?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm better than Custer. So what can I do? Is Margaret there?
Yes, Frank. I'm here because I want you to tell Phil what happened when you and I had that problem and I told you to move out.
Oh, jeez. Well, what happened, Phil, was I had a secretary that had taken over for a gal that I had fired.
Are you okay?
He's probably been drinking. Have you been drinking, Frank?
I had, yes. Ted Bell was over, and she just left, and I'm having the tail end of the bottle of Dewar's that we had over the icebox. If you remember, Margaret, remember when we had the Dewar's over the refrigerator?
Yes, I do.
I'm having the tail end of that, but Ted just left. She was here for a couple of hours, and... Craig Peabody is still here. She'll probably hang around till you get home.
Okay, is that...
Yeah, no, he's fine. Frank, so what happened when you moved out?
All right, so when I moved out, I hired this gal. His name was Jennifer, and that's as far as we need to go with his name. He was a very hot-looking 22-year-old gal. And I hired him to do typing and filing and whatnot. Okay, enough said about that. So he comes to the office one day, and I had said something to him about when Margaret and I had been courting, that Margaret and I played leapfrog in the office, and he had showed up one day, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, Margaret. You showed up one day in a skirt with no underwear.
I've told the story, yes.
Okay. And Margaret and I played leapfrog in my office, and he wasn't wearing underwear. Now,
Can I just ask? You're okay to? You're fine because you sound inebriated.
I'm fine. Are you okay? Let me ask you a more pertinent question. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
All right. I'm okay. So, Jennifer shows up at the office one morning after having heard this story, and he's not wearing any underwear either. And how did I know this? Because he told me that he wasn't, and I asked him why not, and he said, because, Mr. Gray, I wonder if you've got any leapfrog left in you.
All right, I'm having a hard time with
What's wrong?
What's wrong is he's so inebriated.
So anyway...
Hold on, Frank. He's so inebriated that he's...
That's the way he talks when he's... What's your problem? Do you think you're better than people?
Don't understand a thing he says.
No one can understand anything you say either there, Mumbles. Go ahead, Frank.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Frank.
All right, so Jennifer shows up in a tight skirt. He's got on a skirt that just covers his rear end, and he had a hell of a nice rear end. And so he shows up in a tight skirt and the heels, and he says to me, Mr. Gray, have you got any leap?
Oh, man.
Frog left in you, and I said, is the Pope Catholic? And that's when Margaret walked in on us, and he saw me playing leapfrog with him and told me to get out and never darken her door again.
Okay, so you were playing leapfrog with your secretary who wasn't wearing underwear.
You got that? I don't stutter. And
all right, hold on, Frank. We're going to take a break. So Frank Gray with us. All right. Now, why are we telling this story?
You wanted to know why we separated. And during that period of time that we separated, something else, I forget.
Yeah, I forget, too. Let's get back to the story that we wanted to tell, which was the 30-year anniversary. Frank can help us out with this as well. The 30-year anniversary of the possible nuclear war with the Soviet Union. World-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. Our Game of the Week coming up on Sunday, 1:30, with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. The Game of the Week at Phil TV. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And Frank Gray is here with us. Margaret Gray is here as well. It's Margaret's husband, Frank. He's an entertainment attorney and a longtime featured guest on our program. We're discussing now, the 30-year anniversary. And we're on day two with this thing, so I apologize, folks. But I had gotten so much wrong when I rolled all of this information out to our listeners yesterday. Frank, 30 years ago in September, the United States was almost at war with the Soviet Union as the result of a computer, a malfunction of the computer, or the spy satellite, or the satellite that the Russians used to detect missile launch in the United States somehow had gone awry. Do you know the story completely?
Oh, I do know the story, Phil. I know the story backwards and forwards. What was to be a simple NATO exercise in the eastern part of Europe, bordering the Warsaw Pact nations, turned out to be, in the view of the Soviets, who, remember, are an extremely patriarchal society, and so they have men at the very, very top who are strong Russian men, and take, for instance, Andropov, who you mentioned yesterday. She is the epitome, or was the epitome, of strong male Russian leadership. She, Brezhnev, she was another one, Kosygin, she was a hard ass, and all of them together, all of those men together, were formidable and were paranoid, and they felt, as some people knew that they would, that the United States was going to attack with everything we had, every weapon at our disposal. So during this exercise of NATO, Brezhnev, Andropov, Kosygin, all of them were having lunch downtown at a Moscow beanery, and apparently the phone call came in, the waiter came over with a phone, put it on the table. Brezhnev was the first to pick the receiver up, and she was listening down the line to her top general at the missile silos, and she tells Brezhnev, "We're at war. The Americans have launched 5 missiles toward the Soviet Union." Now, Brezhnev slams the phone down and tells the waiter, "Hold the lunch that they had ordered." I think it was 4-5 orders of chili, and demands the check. She brings the check. Brezhnev signs it, and Kosygin wanted to leave a tip. And
okay, do we need all this detail? I'm awfully sorry.
I'm terribly sorry, Phil.
Well, Phil, this is very interesting detail.
Yeah, and a lot of it is pretty...
I'm sorry, Phil, you're right. I thought you'd like to hear, because these 4 or 5 men at the top of the Politburo in the Soviet Union were all tough, tough dudes. And I can only well imagine when they went home to their wives at night what those little ladies would say. You imagine you come through the door and he looks at you and he says, "What kind of a day did you have?" And she says back to her wife, You don't even want to don't ask me. I don't stutter.
Okay, you don't stutter. So what happened?
What do you mean what happened?
What happened after they got the check at the beanery?
Oh, at the 5 of... So they're told by the top general, "We're at war. We're at war. We're at DEFCON 1, and you better shag your... blankety blank, your Russian, big fat Russian blankety blank out of there and get it back to the Kremlin post haste." So you can well imagine Brezhnev and Kosygin hailing a cab and telling the driver, "Get your ass to the Kremlin or we're going to be in an ashtray in about a half of an hour."
All right, so all of this means what?
It means that the colonel that was on duty at the missile silo that day was right when he only detected 5 missile launches and said, "No, let's not retaliate," and recommended that to her superior. And the superior told her, Where are you coming from?" And she said, "Because there's only 5 missiles that are launched, it doesn't take a brain surgeon." And the superior says, "Okay, this is on you." And she's thinking, "I'm in like Flint, because 5 missiles don't mean diddly squat in the overall." And that's what she did. She didn't fire the missiles. And what do you think happened? Why, she gets demoted by the mucky mucks upstairs at the Kremlin. She's downgraded and tossed out on her butt, and that's the end of that story.
So I think the essential thing is only 5 missiles were detected launched. There was no missile launch, isn't that correct?
There was no missile launch at all, Phil, and that is because the sheen or the reflection off the high clouds that day caused the sunlight to reflect into the eye of the spy satellite what appeared to be missile launches, 5 missile launches. And this young Colonel Petrov she was Johnny on the spot. She knew what to do and when to do it, and she did it. Don't make any mistake about it. She did it.
Thank you, darling. That was very well said, and I think it is a testament to the human spirit and to the human mind that it transcends governments and ideologies.
I think that's very well said, Margaret, if I may say it about my wife, and I think he knows, you know, I've been married to him for a number of years. I think he knows, I think I know when he's hit the ball square and it's on its way over this center field wall, and I think he hit the ball square there. That was a high heat, and you swung on that, Margaret, and you hit that high, letter high.
Okay, she got it. She made a good point.
Yeah, he made a good point. That's my point.
All right, Frank. Very good. Thank you very, very much, sir. It's been great talking to you.
Okay, Phil. Thanks a lot.
Boy, is he hammered.
So, well, what do you got to go, boys? Of course he's had a couple of cocktails. So what? He works very hard. He makes a very good living for he's retired. I think if ever a man deserved to have a cocktail, it's a retired man.
Margaret, I'm not, you know, I'm just saying, he's on the radio and he's hammered. You know, I can hear it.
Ben's well, he's going like, I don't want, he's talking like that.
Yeah, he's all stuttering there. He said he didn't stutter neither.
He wasn't stuttering, he was hesitating.
All right, but I'm just telling you, I'm not knocking the guy, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't have a drink. I'm just saying the guy's on my radio show, and I think it detracts. That's the point I'm trying to make. You know, when you talk like that, whether you're inebriated or whatever.
Well, what do you mean, whatever? Do you think he has some kind of a mental disease?
No, if he's drunk, he's drunk, but it detracts when people are listening and you're talking like that, okay?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I think what he said was very interesting, especially them having lunch at the Beanery.
Yeah, they're real good.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Am I supposed to believe that, Margaret? Come on.
Are you calling my husband a liar?
Well, I'm sure they don't have no Beanery downtown Milwaukee, or not Milwaukee.
It wasn't Milwaukee, it was Moscow, so you weren't listening very carefully.
I listened careful enough to know that he said they were, that Brezhnev, Kosygin, they're at a Beanery in Moscow.
Yeah, and he got five bowls of chili.
So?
Oh, well, you get out of here. Where'd he get that stuff? And then they hailed a cab? Don't you think these guys, the leaders of a big nation, probably got a limousine standing by someplace?
Phil, it is Russia, the workers' state. They don't have limousines over there, Phil. It is a workers' state.
I got news for you. Yes, they do have limousines. They may be Russian limousines, and they may be built by the workers' state workers, but it's what passes for a limousine in Russia. At least it was a pass for a limousine back in those days.
So you're calling my husband a liar?
No, I'm not calling your husband a liar for the 9 millionth time. I'm saying the guy was drunk, and he made a bunch of cockamamie bullcrap up. They were in downtown Moscow at a Beanery. Hold the chili. Oh, man.
I don't need this.
Oh, okay, Ariana.
Yeah, we're going to start calling you Ariana every time you do that.
Fine, I'll stay here.
Good. Be a woman and sit here and, you know, are you kidding me? I'm sure. They were in downtown Moscow at a Beanery. Hold the chili. We got to get back to the Kremlin because World War III has started. And Kosygin wants to leave a tip and Brezhnev won't let him. Good Lord.
Well, Phil, it must be nice knowing everything as you do.
I don't know everything, but of the things that I do know, one of them is that they don't have no Beanery downtown Moscow. Not that you'd notice, anyway. Unbelievable. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, when that music starts, it's like, okay, Daddy made the point, so everyone's got to get in line and shut up and...
Margaret, are you trying to tell me there's a Beanery in downtown Moscow?
No.
Are you telling me that they shared five bowls of chili, or...
He didn't say that.
Are you telling me that they ordered five bowls of chili on the day that nuclear war almost broke out?
I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying give the man the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't stutter.
Yeah, he doesn't stutter. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com with live-streaming video every night of our show. You can watch us as well as listen to us as well as, there's a lot of stuff you can do, man. You can check out our podcast. The Bobby Dooley Podcast is now a daily feature, and you can listen to the Bobby Dooley Podcast on the Sideshow Network on SoundCloud. You can also hear it under our free, we have a free section, free material section on our website, which is not our subscription-based stuff. It's our YouTube channel and Bobby's podcast and our Fun Zone. In fact, the Fun Zone, more people ought to know about the Fun Zone.
Yeah, Hendroid's pretty fun.
Well, that, yes, Hendroid's, I will say, is fun. It's a version...
Yeah,
hold on, I'm telling the story.
Let Margaret, do you play it?
I play it, Frank plays it. Jason J. Delmonico delights in playing it. You know, Jason likes you, Phil, but for some reason he loves Hendroids because he loves blowing your head up. And,
well,
don't, if he mentions anything about homosexuality...
All right, watch it, bud.
In any event, Hendroids is like the old game of Asteroids, only it's called Hendroids.
Yeah, I know, and it's got kind of the name is grotesque because it...
Why?
Because it sounds like hemorrhoids. Anyway...
Jeez, now I don't even want to play it.
Anyway, go to our Fun Zone. There's a... Margaret, you sing there. There's a little animated version of Margaret as she sings Downtown in honor of Ted's of Beverly Hills. All kinds of stuff there at philhendryshow.com. Now, one more thing. The San Francisco Sketch Fest, which takes place in late January, early July... I'll be on stage there doing a preview of what will become our one-man show. So if you are curious, and I don't want to drop any names, but, when the Bobby Dooley podcast was being recorded...
I know, Henry Rollins said he wanted to see it.
Do you mind if I tell the story, okay?
Bud, he's going to start to cry.
Yeah, well, you going to cry, Mr. Henry?
I'm not crying. What do you mean he's going to start to... I just would like to, you know...
No, Henry Rollins, you want to see a one-man show?
Henry Rollins said, you know, I've been listening to you talking about your one-man show. You know, when's it going to happen? And so I said, well, Henry, by just, you know, I thank you very much. And
you should get him tickets. Have him sit up front.
Yeah. If he does, what if he heckles you, though?
What if Henry Rollins heckles me?
Yeah.
Well, then I guess he heckles me. I hadn't anticipated that.
Get Henry Rollins tickets and get me some. Can you write down? I know you're on the air, Phil. Just get a...
Okay.
I want two tickets.
You get out of here. I can't write down a ticket order right now. In any event, it'll be the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and we'll give you specific times and specific dates for that. Looking forward to it as well. All right. Covered a lot of ground on our show. Thank you, Frank Gray, for being with us. Covered a lot of ground on our show here this evening. We covered the B of A countrywide mortgage fraud. That was just, and Bank, if you haven't heard, Bank of America has been held liable for that.
So what do you think about that? That's where you bank, and yet look what, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a good question, and we've got a couple of phone calls on that. As a matter of fact, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let's go to Vernon's on the line. Vernon Dozier on the line from Belmar, actually from Glendale. I don't know if you're still at school. Vernon, how are you?
Hey, Phil.
What's going on tonight?
Well, question, I think, is a good question. I just heard Ms. Gray ask, what is your comment on Bank of America? You know, you're talking about banksters and people who, you know, didn't pay a mortgage.
What is my comment about what?
What is your comment about Bank of America? I haven't heard you say anything. I was driving with my wife coming back from the doctor's office because she had to go in. She had an emergency.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She's fine, but... So I'm curious to know what's your verdict on Bank of America. You haven't said anything.
Well, my verdict is this. As a bank for my needs...
Okay, see, you're doing what a lot of them do. You're taking this big, long, you know...
Are you going to let me explain?
Yeah, I want you to answer. What is your answer, yes or no? What do you think of Bank of America?
Yes or no, what do I think?
Don't repeat it back to me. See, this is what a lot of people do. You people in the media do this all the time. You will not answer a direct question when you've been caught. When you've been caught saying something stupid. Now, what is your feeling, yes or no, about Bank of America?
It's not a yes or no question, Vernon.
Hey, excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me. What's your feeling?
I can't answer it yes or no.
You can't answer that yes or no. All right. Okay. Just tell me what your feeling is then.
Yes or no?
Mr. Henry?
You talk about being caught saying something stupid, Vernon. That's what just happened to you.
No. See, again, this will be... We're going on 3 minutes on this phone call. I want to know, Mr. Media, what is your feeling on a large commercial interest like Bank of America, which may very well be a sponsor of your program, on them being held liable in one of the largest fraudulent schemes that this country has ever seen? These banksters there at... and I'm glad you're using that term. You're getting used to that term. I want you to get real comfortable with that, because those of us who... Those of us who ascribe to that term, we feel it's very, very apt. And these banks that have taken the average American taxpayer to the woodshed and for their filthy and sadistic laughs have had their way with the American homeowner and then left us as one would leave a bloodied victim of violent assault, so they can, you know, stagger back to the house for another jug of moonshine. I mean, that's exactly what has happened. And
boy, 1 minute they're banksters, and the next minute they're like...
they're like alcoholic hillbillies or something.
Well, hillbilly is alcoholic.
What is this? I like it when you got 1, 2, 3, how many people in there ganging up on me, and you still can't answer the question.
No, I mean, I'll answer your question. You were just talking about the American mortgage holder...
I know what I said. Now we're going on 5 minutes, and you can't answer it.
My answer is this. Bank of America should be fined. They should be fined an enormous amount of money. If it shuts their ass down, fine. I'll find another bank. Is that good enough for you?
Well, okay. Are you going to stay banking at Bank of America?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I am.
Oh, baby. Okay, tell me why.
Because they provide a good service for me. Now, I'll tell you this much.
They provide a good service for you. So, in other words, even though they are lawbreakers...
Hold on for a minute, Vernon. You're just going to have to chill out. If I find my fees going up, if I find the cost of service at Bank of America going up because of their own malfeasance and fraud... I will absolutely exercise my right to remove my accounts from that bank and take them someplace else.
All right, you heard him. You are a witness, Margaret, and so is Dickman, and so is this guy, Leonard, okay? And the audience out there, too. You heard him. You're witnesses. You're saying that you will take your money and your accounts away from Bank of America if the fees go up. Is that what you're saying?
In other words, if I have to pay for their mistake, if they pass along the cost of their... law-breaking, if they pass along the cost of their liability for the countrywide fraud to me, the consumer, they're not going to get away with it. They're going to lose me as a customer.
Okay, you're all a witness to that. So you, Margaret?
Yeah, we already know. You know, Vernon, you've said it like twice now, and I think everybody is on record as knowing.
All right, so I just wanted you to know, because, you know, I find it very... I had to pry that out of you as if I was pulling a wisdom tooth, you know. I remember as a kid I had my wisdom teeth out, and I woke up halfway through the procedure. The anesthetic had worn off, and I gripped the side of the chair. I'll never forget it, because I told myself, no way are these dentists, and no way... Are any of the people in this office going to see me turn tail and run? If the anesthetic is worn off, the anesthetic is worn off. I was 12 years old. My father was long gone by this point, and my mother, who was trying to make me into the little girl she never had, and I fought it, and I fought it hard. And so I went in to get my wisdom teeth out, and I calculated that the anesthetic would probably wear off part of the way through the procedure, and I welcomed that. I welcomed that. And the reason why I did, Phil, is because I wanted them to see my face as I lived through that pain and didn't utter one word. As my face was covered with blood, my eyes were open, my gaze darting about the room with bloodshot eyes, and all they heard was me moaning just a little itsy bit. I asked the nurse later, and she said all it sounded like was, that's all. Those are her words, not mine. Her words, not mine.
Okay, where are we going with this?
Oh, my God.
What's with the oh, my God?
Where are we going with this, man? What is this about?
I'm telling you that I own up to my mistakes, and I stand tall in the face of unbelievable pain. And when I mentioned the fact that I had to pry the truth out of you like a wisdom tooth, I woke up halfway through the procedure while the doctor had one foot on the chair. He was bracing himself with one foot up on a chair and one hand on the wall. He was being stabilized by two nurses behind him. And his arm that had the pliers in it, he had another doctor helping. That's what it took to pull a wisdom tooth out of my head. Okay? So that's the kind of guy you're dealing with here.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it. You know what? You think you're tough, Henry. You're not tough, okay? I pulled up in front of an all-black restaurant. Never mind.
That man is... he's certifiable, obviously, and so are so many of the people you've had on your program tonight. Bob Green's another one. But that man is a certifiable racist.
What do you mean he's a certifiable racist?
I know what he was going to say. He pulled up because he told the story before.
Yeah, it's the time he was down. He's the time he's in Baldwin Hills.
What about the time he was in Baldwin Hills?
He said he pulled up to a restaurant down in Baldwin Hills, and there was a group of men standing out in front of him, all black men. And he said, "Hey, any of you boys have a light?" And they almost beat him to death, basically.
Well, good.
Yeah, but he was proud of that, see?
Is that the time he said he said that on purpose, right?
Yes, he said it on purpose just so he could get beaten up and laugh his way through it.
Yeah, just to laugh his way through it so his mom didn't make him a sissy.
That guy is out of his freaking mind, man. I mean, that cat is so intent on not being a mama's boy, and he was so intent on not being a sissy, that all through his young life, and probably today, in fact, his wife still backs over his hand, doesn't she?
I think so.
You know what? Call him back, will you, bud?
Well.
Do what I say. Call him back. Well. We'll take a break.
Well, I don't know if I want to.
Hey, bud, quit screwing around and call him back. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445. And stick around, folks. Final segment coming up. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show of philhenryshow.com. And, of course... we'll be back with you guys tomorrow night. It's our final segment. For those of you on Phil TV, we've been basically all night long, we've been using camera 3, but been using a camera angle from behind me because I thought people would like to see how I, you know...
well, how you punch all the buttons and...
yeah, it's pretty interesting to see the way the different knobs and everything, you know.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. But I hope you enjoyed that. And if you get a backstage pass, you'll be able to see us as we, well, I shouldn't say.
Easy, Phil.
Well, how we work the knobs, is that?
Yeah, I got it. No, that's not good.
Now, that I find another way.
Well, you can if you get a backstage pass, you can see how we stick it into the...
why did you say that?
Because of last night when we had the problem with the cable and Bud said he had to put it in the right hole and then someone said that's what she said and you almost killed him.
Well, I didn't say it. I don't know why you hang that on me. The technical aspect of this show is very offensive. Very offensive, Phil. And I'm glad I'm finally getting a chance to say this. And to any woman listening to me, when you work on a radio show and they're talking about, well, he has to stick it in this hole and the knob, look at him, he's working the knob. These are things that no woman should have to live through.
Margaret, you know something? Nobody is saying it to try to offend you. It happens to be the language of the business.
That's what I'm saying. Even the basic language of what you do for a living is vile and is vulgar, and I would not wish it on my worst enemy.
Okay, are you ready to give up your job then?
Give up why?
Because you don't like us saying sticking it in the,
Well, we shouldn't say that. We ought to say put it in the right input.
In the what?
Put it in the right input.
Well, that's just as filthy.
What's filthy about that? You know something? You know, there's an old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and filth is in the mind of the beholder.
Well, that's not an old saying.
Well, I don't care if it is or it isn't. I think that you need to clean your mind up a little bit.
You really are... you want $300 worth, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Go ahead. You want to start threatening people. That's what you just said to me. Let's go.
So you'd strike a woman. That's all I need to know. Excuse me.
Tampons in the upper.
I know.
See, Margaret throws around...
Don't talk as if I'm not there.
I'm going to. Margaret throws around these threats. She's threatened Bud. She's threatened me. She talks about kicking everybody's ass. She talks about this, that, this, that. That's fine. So I finally said, okay, come at me. And she gets up and looks for the...
tampon.
Okay, Bud. Here is a little bit of news out of Connecticut. Very interesting. A Connecticut judge on Wednesday ordered a new trial for Michael Skakel...
Man, that's the guy that the Kennedy.
That's right. A new trial for Michael Skakel, a nephew of Ethel Kennedy, who was convicted in 2002 of bludgeoning a neighbor with a golf club in 1975. The judge has ordered this new trial, saying his original lawyer had not represented him effectively. The decision was another turn in a high-profile case that drew television crews and celebrity crime writers like Dominic Dunn. Judge Thomas A. Bishop set aside the murder conviction of Mr. Skakel, age 53, who was sentenced to 20 years to life for killing the neighbor, Martha Moxley, when they were both teenagers in Greenwich, Connecticut. This was a story, I don't know how many times I've seen this thing, when...
I watched this, I want to say...
I thought you were in the bathroom.
I'm back. Martha Moxley, this name... Have you been to this name... Hold on.
What's she doing?
Going back to the bathroom?
Yes.
If you're... Okay, so in any event, this was a TV... I saw this, the subject of a documentary, and it was an interesting case. It was a case where there was quite a bit of detective work done, and it also turned on DNA. It turned on DNA. Now, understand that... I believe it turned on DNA.
Well, Mr. Everybody, you messed up that whole thing about Russia starting a nuclear war. You won't do it again, do you?
Well, that's true. That's true. But as I remember, they found at the scene semen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, relax, will you? They found at the scene semen, but they didn't say anything about it right away. Didn't say anything about it right away. And what happened was this. They questioned different kids. The first person they questioned was a babysitter. This poor man was in the crosshairs because, well, he's an adult and he had an opportunity and he was babysitting the kids. So this poor guy was, and they finally cleared him. But I'm sure there was some pretty anxious moments for him. But they didn't say anything about finding this genetic material, if you will. Skakel made these denials. No, I wasn't anywhere near there. No. I went right to bed. No. Then all of a sudden he comes back and he says, well, I went back to the tree where I had been looking at her through this bedroom window, and he says he masturbated. Now, the reason why he said that, because he had a stinking hunch that they had found genetic material, and it was his, and he wanted to explain why it was there.
This guy said he'd go back and he did that?
Yes. Yes. And the cops saw through that, like, I mean, they just saw through it. It's like, wait a minute, man. First of all, you tell us that you went right up there, went right to bed, nothing doing, no. Then, yeah, sure, you were looking at her through a window, and now you got so turned on, you went back there, and you did this thing that left this genetic material there, and, oh, yeah, we happen to have some of that. So that would explain why it would, that what they found was his, and it would also, in the mind of this Michael Skakel, explain why his genetic material could have been found there and he could still not be guilty of this murder. A real stretch, man. This guy, but you gotta hand the guy, tip of the hat for points just for the creativity of the whole thing. Only, like I said, the cops saw through it. Now we find that that the judge feels he was not represented effectively. And it was a 136-page decision, so guess what, folks? Fasten your seatbelts, because this one is going back to trial. There's going to be another trial of Michael Skakel. He's already served 11 years of his sentence. A parole board rejected his application last year to be released. The state's attorney handling the case, John C. Smriga, told the Associated Press prosecutors would appeal the ruling. and calls to the attorney, this guy Sherman. Is this the guy that did not effectively represent him? He'd been in a myriad of ways ineffective. Yeah, they called him, and they were not returned, and I suppose you can understand why. He was basically called a total, you know, klutz by the attorney, or by the judge in the case. So that's going to be, you know...
Yeah, Bill, Greenwich, Connecticut is very upscale. A great many very, very high-profile people, and, of course, very well... These kids are spoiled rotten. And it will be interesting. I want to be allowed to go there, please, on your dime to cover this.
Not on my dime, on your dime.
Boy, you got a pair on you that they get bigger and bigger with every show.
I'm not going to pay for you to fly back there, but you can go and cover it for the show. World famous Phil Hendry Show. See you tomorrow night, folks.
What a jip.